everyone. It's Martha Novak, and I'm awfully glad to speak with you today. I hope our signal holds today, because yesterday I taught a class, and it did not. I kept freezing, so I don't know what's going to happen today. But we will see, won't we? Please keep in mind, we are being broadcast over Blog Talk Radio and Facebook Live. So if you go to my website and go under radio shows, there's a button for each. And sometimes, guys, we just have to toggle back and forth because our fast speed that they have so promised us has not been hooked up yet. We see the guys on the road and we wave at them and we tell them, yay, we're so glad you're here, as they're laying fiber optic cable. And that's about as far as I know we've gotten. So anyway, it's a happy little family, but we still don't have fast internet, fast speed yet, so we're trying, okay? Anyway, it should improve in the next few weeks, we certainly hope. I hope all of you guys are doing well today. A lot going on. My gosh, there's so much activity. And I think this is timely to talk about this show, because we're going to talk about rest. I found a really interesting article about the seven kinds of rest. The young lady who is writing this article was writing it about a book, and I actually liked very much her inclusion at the end. She added eight types of rest, which I very much support. Hi, darling. How are you? It's good to see you. I just saw a friend of mine pop in, and I don't use that word idly. Anyway, I'm glad that you're with us today. And I'm glad all of you guys are with us today. Let's have some fun and get some things done. We are on the air, so our guest call-in number is 347-850-1647 if you'd like to call in and talk about this subject or any other. However, I can't always promise that I am going to be able to get you on the air and answer, but, you know, we'll hope for the best today, won't we? All right. Let's do prayer. Get us all on the same page. Actually, get me in the same page with you, because it's been kind of an interesting and hectic morning, although I did figure out the espresso machine, which is a big deal for me because, you know, I am so technically challenged. I am. And my husband, we just moved into this house, and the people that sold it to us were dear friends of ours, and they left us a lot of equipment like an espresso machine. Well, I've never had an espresso machine in my life. In fact, I don't drink a whole lot of coffee. So I felt like having an espresso in a pretty cup this morning, and I figured it out myself. I know that's a small victory for most of you that have probably been fooling with technology for a long time and know a hell of a lot more than I do. But my expertise really stops with plugging in the appliance, and sometimes not even then, you know. So I forget. Oh, yeah, I got to plug it in. All right, let's do a prayer. I'll try not to be all over the place. Dear God, thank you so much for the opportunity of our being together today. We are thrilled to be here under the banner of knowing ourselves more and knowing you more, because you and all of us are one. Your energy is everything in this world, to high and low degrees, and we now surrender to knowing nothing, that you and all your magnificent glory may enter us all and open our minds past the obvious to inspiration. Our lives are sometimes not inspired, and we ask that they be now, today, that we may do your good and perfect work, love, in this world, as we open ourselves on the deepest level to bring that through. We thank you so much for all of this, and we say this prayer now. In your name and in the name of the Ascended Masters, our love-centered guides and friends, and in the name of every single person listening to this show today. And so it is, amen. Hi, Sandy. Good morning to you, my dear. I'm so glad to see you. Glad you're here. We are talking about today rest. Now, that seems like a simple thing to talk about, and a lot is written about sleep, isn't it? I mean, you know, wear blue glasses, don't wear any glasses, don't look at your tablets, don't do this, don't do that, you know, take these herbs, don't take this. I'm confused. I find these days, at my age, and I'm considerably older than most of you, granted, I need to eat extremely lightly at night. I don't sleep as well when I don't. I went out to dinner this week. Perfectly charming time. Had a great time. Didn't overindulge in anything. In fact, I was quite adamant about eating as lightly as I could eat. And I still just didn't sleep well, you see? Sandy says, this is good timing because I need more of it, rest. Yes, I agree with you, darling. So let's talk today about rest, because if we don't rest, and I'm not talking about sleep, sleep is wonderful and you know, we need it, and we'll talk a little bit about it. But I think rest is a really, really important subject, and rest is something I actually do know something about, because as a corporate coach for many, 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 many years, and I still am doing that, we were not meant, oh, thank you, sweetheart, we were not meant to just dive in there and push all the time. At our work, at our home, run, 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 run. We're not meant to do that. If you'll think back when you were in school, any schooling, and we decided, as I did, because I had heard other people use the term, to cram for an exam or a test, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't sit there and cram for that test. I had to study, get up, study, get up, study, get up, study, get up. You know why? Because you've got to have some processing time, guys. It's not just about inputting, is it? It's about, and nor is it about outputting. It is about that consideration that is in those more esoteric levels of processing what has been inputted and making it your own and figuring out how to use it and how to turn it around and give it away. So, that said, I want to go into this article, which is entitled The Seven Kinds of Rest You Need to Actually Feel Rejuvenated. Actually, there are going to be eight of them, but that's the title of the article because it's, I think, the one of the something about the book. The book was written by Sandra Dalton Smith. She's a doctor, and she's the author of Sacred Rest, and she writes that rest is the most underused, chemical-free, safe, and effective alternative therapy available to us. Actually, say that is true. Sandy said, we were talking about just a few minutes ago, you know, cramming for a test, and she said the information was useless because the cramming information doesn't stick, if it sticks at all. You know, one of the things that I've done my whole life is you know, I've worked real hard on myself, so I tend to live in the moment. So I have, I don't retain short-term memory that isn't useful to me. But man, you asked me about my work. You asked me about my clients, you ask me about my writing, I'm right there with you. But otherwise, I tend to throw it out. It'll always be there if I need to go back and look it up, right? And that's kind of the way I was even when I was in college and in high school and in grammar school. It's like, you know, I want to have what sticks. Even today, I'm teaching a course on creativity right now. Something I didn't say to them, which I will say to you, it's just because I forgot, is that before I do any writing, before I do anything, I love to research, right? I'd love to read about all sorts of things. But when I actually go to write, I don't think about that anymore. I see what sticks to the wall of those things. Might be an idea, might be it might be anything, actually. It may be the way of doing something. But it's like what sticks to the wall. I use that silly term because really it's about what I'm supposed to use as me, you see? What's supposed to come through me? That's what sticks to the wall that I've got to flesh out now and write about. And you're right, cramming doesn't stick because we're not working with the actual system we are. Okay? And rest does have a lot to do with it. Processing does have a lot to do with it. So let's go on. When one does not rest. Oh, and by the way, this article is by Claudia Schoffen. Schoffen. Claudia Schoffen. I think it's really important to talk about this. If you don't do this well, it often leads to burnout. And sleep alone, guys, is not the most effective way of handling exhaustion and fatigue, because there are all these ways you can be exhausted and fatigued, and you must have a sense of where you have let yourself down before you can fix it, right? So I thought this was a very good article because, and I told my class at Shuste when we were talking about an element of this, 20 or 25 years ago, I've been teaching the same class for a long time and these same people for that long. And I was told, as I am often told in these classes, information, that we were going to be at a time where the world was overwhelming and the number one trait to survive was going to be adaptability and flexibility in our thinking. We're there, aren't we? But the reason that I was doing a course on creativity in my advanced class is because that will open the mind more. And I think I'll talk about creativity at some point in my radio shows. Of course, my radio shows are for the general public, so they have to be rather shallow compared to the exercises and the good stress. There's good stress and bad stress that I put my class under. Okay. Needless to say, one of the things that makes creativity work is rest. We're going to talk about all that now. So I think Claudia has done a real good job of this article. I have on my list of reads, as soon as I finish all the things I'm doing for my own book, Sandra Dalton Smith, I want to read her book, Sacred Rest. All right. So, diving right into our material, here we go. There is the most familiar rest that we all have, which is physical rest. This is pretty much the first rest we need as human beings walking this earth. This is a rest from physical activities that fatigue us, right? It's about sleep and relaxation and napping. All of those things fall under the category of physical rest. But paradoxically, and I think this is a really interesting point, so does active physical rest. There's such a thing. There's physical rest that we go, yeah, it's about sleeping and napping and looking after ourselves that way. Oh, good morning, Jitty. She says, my morning meditation was about rest. Love those synchronized wonders from the divine. Oh, honey, isn't it true? This is a world in sync with itself, unless we're fighting it. So good for you. It really does show you're getting out of your way. I'm real proud of you. Good for you. All right. So there is a passive physical rest. We talked about sleep, napping, that kind of thing. But so does the word physical rest, the phrase physical rest also encompasses something that is called active physical rest. And that may sound like an oxymoron. It is not. Active physical rest refers to light, restorative activities such as yoga, stretching, massages, that kind of thing. Now, one of the things I want to put on the table here about physical rest, there are several points. I think a lot of times how well you sleep, let's address that first, passive, has to do with your gut and what's going on down there. They're finding that the gut is linked to a lot of things, like Alzheimer's, like dementias. They haven't quite found all the connections, but it is a supposition that I think they're on the right track for. I think many of us who are aging don't digest the same things we used to digest when we were 16. It has caused me, and I am not recommending this for anybody but me, so don't think I am. I'm just sharing information. It's caused me to eat a more vegetarian diet. In fact, I'm pretty much vegetarian except about once every couple of weeks. I can digest much better a lot of vegetables. I can digest fruits really well. I can digest beans and legumes. I can digest all of that much better than I can a piece of fish or a piece of steak or something like that. The other thing about this particular vegan diet that I'm on is it doesn't allow dairy, which is the hardest thing for me to give up because I love my cheese. And it also does not allow any oil. And it has been a really interesting experience for me because I have certainly slept better and I certainly am, I have more energy. Okay, so that was just me personally. Now here's the rub, kids. You kind of gotta go on this for yourself. You gotta find out what is one size does not fit all with any of this that I'm going to talk about today. What's your version of, let's say, active physical rest? What's your version of it? I am not a really physically inclined person. My learning and communication sequence, which is one of the methodologies that I teach that's very unique to my program about the triangle brain system, my physical smarts is low compared to my mental and emotional smarts, okay? That means you can certainly see it if you ever go to a dance class with me, because you'll catch on if your mover aspect is higher, that's the part of you that catches on physically, is if that's higher than mine, you're going to be much faster than I am. because my brain and my emotional experience are the things that I do first before I ever get to my body, you see? So I'm slower in taking physical information on. All right. So I don't like a class in yoga, and I'm not wild about stretching. I'll do a little bit of stretching. I'm also an introvert, so whatever I'm doing, I'm not going to be doing it at the gym, I'll tell you that. I'll be very active in my own home. I'll walk around the neighborhood, or I'll walk to see a beautiful view. I better have a payoff, though. See, I'm not going to walk just to walk. Isn't that interesting? You may walk just to walk. People with higher movers really like that. But I do like massage. I have a wonderful little, I think I referred to it last week, my husband gave me this fabulous, he'd done all his research, I don't even know what you would call it, it's a massager for the muscles. It's really incredible. And I often use that to get the spinal cord juices flowing and my muscles relaxed and all that kind of thing. I tend to do those kinds of things rather than go do yoga, go in a butt yoga class. You know, I'll do what I need to do for me. But everybody isn't the same. Please realize that everybody isn't the same as we go through this whole thing. Now, the thing about that, everybody not being the same, is that you're going to take this general information that I've got to give you of these 8 points, and you're going to find what works for you. The only thing that I'm presenting here is that there are 8 types of rest, and sometimes when we wake up in the morning and we're still exhausted, if nothing is actually physically wrong with us, we're ignoring one of these, you see? And we should not ignore any of them. It's something for us to just have in our minds. Okay, let's see if there's anything else. No, I've already covered that. All right. Everybody on the same page with me. One size does not fit all about any of this. So the things we suggest are just suggestions. They may or may not work for you. She has a lot of suggestions down here. Some of them do not work for me. I'm just not going to go and do yoga. Sorry. Do I respect that medium? I think it's fabulous. All my friends do it. I think it's great. Good for them. They have higher movers than I do. Okay, mover aspects. Okay, number 2. There is mental rest. She says, are you a person whose brain turns on the second you hit the pillow? You may be struggling from a mental rest deficit. Sleep is helpful, but never feels restorative enough. Relying on coffee to get you through the day, me, this morning, may work in the short run. But in the long run, further perpetuates racing thoughts, worries, or mental processing. To assist with mental rest, this author that she is quoting, Dalton Smith, encourages short breaks throughout the workday and journaling before bedtime. Now I want to address both those things. If you are a very active person, you are just simply not going to journal before bedtime or any other time. You'll find the act of sitting down and writing and using words, possibly, something that you just don't want to do. So take that with a grain of sand. And by the way, give yourself permission not to do it. See, I am a note taker to the extreme. If I listen to a lecture as I did this week, I'm busy taking notes. Man, I'm busy taking notes. I've learned to take notes through the years because even as a child, I didn't retain everything in the moment, right? I'd write everything down. That satisfies my brain. That satisfies my reasoning part of me. But I am just amazed at dear friends of mine that are as smart as anything in the world, and they never take a note. They retain it all. Isn't that something? I think it's marvelous. I'm not like that. So we each have our way of doing things. Nevertheless, what she says in the beginning is she encourages us to take short breaks throughout the workday. Now, I mentioned this last week, and I'm saying it again because it's extremely important to know. You don't just stay on for 12 hours a day or 18 hours a day. You just don't. That's the fastest way to burn out, I know. You don't stay on. You don't give that level of energy. You don't give that level of mental attention the whole time. If you do, it may not show right now, but it's going to show in the future. And you're going to burn out. You're going to have to leave that job, or you're going to have to do whatever you're doing is not going to work. You have got to learn. And I think this is one of the big learning experiences of our emotional maturity, don't you, and spiritual maturity, which is we can't keep pushing. We have to turn off and on throughout the day. What are we turning on and off? Our energy levels. I told the story last week how you are, when you have high energy, you're visible. When you have very low energy, you're not visible. This is why when we're depressed and we have really low energy, nobody notices us, and it makes our depression worse. You understand? Because people see energy. I can prove that to you. The next time you're at a cocktail party and there's a little gathering around somebody who's doing all the talking, don't you be the one doing all the talking. You let somebody else talk, and you play the energy game. You get your energy really high. Whoever they're looking at is the highest energy in the room. They'll turn to look at you and then lower your energy through the floor, and they'll look away to the next highest energy. Now, this is an unaware person who's speaking, and that's what most people are, because they don't know these rules. They don't know that energy is what engages people, right? So that's just a wonderful way to prove to yourself that this energy thing I'm talking about works. I mentioned last week, too, please look at the It series, which is my 3-DVD set. It's on Amazon, actually on my website. And this explains that and everything else you need to know to be a dynamic individual. Why is it called the It series? So you'll have it. And that's what agents used to say to me. Martha, send me somebody with it. I'd say, well, what is it, my dear? And they'd say, well, I don't know, but I'll recognize it when it walks in the door. Well, I know what it is. It's the use of energy. Okay? So once you are it, you can't stay on all the time. And a lot of people aren't it for good reasons. They're it because they learned to have a level of anxiety when they were young that they have never healed from, and they're just on all the time because they're afraid. Something is coming out of the woodwork to get them. The piano is about to fall on you. The other shoe is going to drop. Guys, that's just not true in reality, unless you create it. And we have to learn in our emotional maturity to work with uncertainty, because this is an uncertain world and it is going to get worse. That's why Spirit is telling me adaptability, flexibility, your number one characteristics. Number one, you got to be flexible and adaptable. So what happens to rigid thinking, to living by rote because you're afraid to try something new, to thinking different thoughts, having different feelings, doing things physically differently, or thinking spiritual new thoughts? You see, this isn't a time for that kind of change. Okay. So what does this mean relative to what they're saying here? Short breaks throughout your workday. Let's say you work in a corporate environment, and do you just jump when somebody gives you something? you see. They may stop you in the hall and ask you a question, and you go, oh, my God, you know, I may be wrong. You find out back at your desk you are wrong. Oh, my God. And people that are really worried about making mistakes and things like that just freak out. I say, never answer a question in the hall. Say, I'll get back to my desk and I'll give that to you by 10 o'clock in the morning. No problem. Just let me do my research. I also say that you have to have breaks. Going to the bathroom is actually a break. Close the door, stay in there, and just let your energy drop. Let it drain out through your feet. But by the time you open that door and you're public again, you know, washing your hands, going back to your office, it's showtime. This thing of turning off and on throughout the day, going out and walking around the building on a beautiful day, okay, going to lunch once in a while, just letting down. Now, when I say going to lunch, you remember my story from last week if you were there, which is you're not going to get waited on if your energy is all the way down where I'm wanting it to be so that you could turn off. They won't see you. They won't see you. I have a funny story. I think I've told this to you all years ago, but here I go again. So I went to a farmer's market. This was when I lived in Atlanta, and it was years ago. And I'd never been there. Okay, this was one of those big farmers markets where everybody's yelling at each other and they've got 1,000 vendors and a lot of fresh everything's, you know. And the floor is wet, constantly hosing things off. I mean, we're not talking elegance, right? You're talking about service and a great farmers market, international. So I wanted to get some fresh meat when I was a meat eater that had grass-fed, grass-finished, fresh, right? And so I said, okay, well, when I got there, nobody told me not to go on Saturday. Friends had just said, oh, it's a wonderful experience, you should go. And I'd driven all the way across town for it, so it wasn't like I can pop in anytime I want, right? I think there were probably 25 or 30 people around this meat counter. I was just simply not going to be served. And I am very short. You can't see it on the air, and you certainly can't see it on the radio. But I'm short. I'm like I was probably 4'10 at best, right? So if I was going to get waited on at all and make my drive all the way across town in traffic, which would still go about an hour and a half, worthwhile, I was going to have to go on and get that meat. And as I recall, my husband was in the car too waiting for me, and he is not a patient man. Okay. So I got my energy really high, and I got up to the front, and the guy, the attendant behind, I think there were only two attendants, the guy behind the counter saw me and said, what do you want? And I ignored everybody around me that was grouching, and I said, I knew exactly what I wanted, right? And he went about putting it together, and I stood there and kept my energy really high. I'm not saying a word to anybody, right? I'm just trying to get my meat and get out of there. And the other guy brings me somebody else's order, too. Well, of course, I said it's not mine, but people respond to energy. People respond to energy. Now, that said, I'm going to tell you, you're going to need to train yourselves to have the kind of energy I'm talking about. That's the It series, okay? Now, going back to her point, which is mental rest, she recommends to calm the mental chatter something called thought diffusion. Now, it is the concept of observing your thoughts as they flow in and out, gently allowing them to pass without any pressure from you to speed them up or slow them down. Just watching. I think this is something that comes naturally to people right before they fall asleep. I'm really aware of the images that float by. And that's right before sleep. Often happens in that twilight state, that theta state. It's a very creative experience. She goes on to say, one can use the metaphor of leaves floating down a stream or clouds passing in the sky. I don't find any of this helpful. Here's why. When you're in mental unrest and you're mentally unsettled, she's asking you to be mindful, and that's the one thing that you have a hard time being when you're in that state. It's very important for you to talk to yourself if you don't write in a journal, because some people are really uncomfortable with uncertainty. I say this because of some clients I have. We found that in this one person, she couldn't stand things to not be resolved, even if she forced their resolve. But she just couldn't stand it. But this is not a world that can be resolved automatically, okay? So you have to find and speak to yourself about that everything is going to be resolved. It is being resolved right now. You just don't know what it is yet. And that seemed to calm her down when she was able to speak to herself like that. The other thing that helped her quite a bit, and that I'm putting on the table for you, is that she was very blind to herself throughout the day and what she thought and what she felt. We'll talk about that in a minute. She was absolutely blind to that. In fact, when something did come across the table that challenged her mentally or emotionally, she would say, that shouldn't bother me, and go on, which is a complete and utter denial of herself and what she was needing to listen to. So she'd lie in the bed at night, and her mind would spin, and she'd play everything over and over and over and over and over again because she hadn't dealt with it in the day, which is where she should have dealt with it. She was completely not considering herself, so she had to replay everything at nighttime. She is a very fast mover. She likes everything, right? How much processing did she do during the day about what was being inputted? Zero. So she did it at night. So those are just some tips off the top of my head. I say again, everybody's different. Some of those will work for you. Some of those will not work for you. But if you're not journaling at nighttime, which I think is a marvelous thing, I make lists, you know, so I don't have to keep them in my head. I make lists of all the things I need to do all the time. Clutter, get it out. Do I need that list? Of course I do. Here it is when I need it, okay? If I wake up in the night and need to add something, I add something, but it affords me the opportunity then to forget about it because it's already written down. You see? Good. The interesting thing about the client that I'm talking about, my eyes just went to this thing about floating down, being a leaf floating down the stream, is that she abhorred any kind of creative visualization like this. She just couldn't do it. She couldn't follow it. She couldn't stick with it. So don't beat yourself up if you can't. Make adjustments in some of the areas that we're talking about right now. And if you're in manic energy, do you know what I mean by manic energy? I'm not calling anybody, by the way, bipolar. That's not what I mean. But we all get in manic energy from time to time. Manic energy is when we are reactive. We are woo up there, right? And usually our minds are very closed in manic energy. We're just trying to get through and do what we need to do and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you see? And if you are in that energy, there's not a damn thing you can do about it till you come out of it. Nobody is going to be able to bring you out of that, except in the very early stages when you need to be aware that you are in it and you have a tendency to go in it, and you've got to recognize it and stop yourself. If somebody tries to stop you, you're probably going to yell at them. But if you're very aware, you'll go, oh, yeah, okay, I see it. And you'll stop yourself and go do something else that'll bring you out of manic energy, because problems are not solved in manic energy. However, why do we go in it? You know, we feel a threat, even a perceived threat, a threat that isn't a threat. We don't know how to handle something that can be a threat. It isn't that there's a threat of violence somewhere around us. You see? It may be triggered by I never get what I want and you don't care about me, the two issues in the world that everything else falls under. It could be because we have anxiety and something new comes along, and the first thing we say, of course, in anxiety is, oh, I can't handle this, I don't know what to do. That would do it, okay? The fact of the matter is, it isn't that you go into it or not. It is that you need to recognize in the beginning seconds of going into mania that you feel in this in some way, and to stop it by doing something else that brings you down from that and do some self-talk. You're going to be all right. If you don't know the answer to this, wait. The answers will be revealed once you stop panicking. Or somebody around you knows the answers. You're going to be fine. And there's no reason to go into mania. Now, some people love mania. This woman certainly did. Because she felt like she was accomplishing a lot in mania. Yeah. It was always hard because she was pushing. Okay? People didn't like her very much because she put tasks above people. Okay? And she forced her issues. She forced them on everybody else. And she just thought she was queen of the world in this. Guys, that energy of being king or queen of the world is egoic high energy. And there's a difference between egoic high energy and genuine high energy from your highest self, which is full of love and attention on the formula, which is you and me together creating a situation to disagree or agree. And it's a win-win because we're agreeing to agree or disagree, you see. That said, this person that I'm talking about right now couldn't stand to have anybody disagree with her. Her anxiety told her she had to be right all the time. So when someone did disagree, she would go into mania because she'd freak out because she didn't know how to handle a conversation, a normal conversation of give and take, you see. Oh, man, this is so complicated, all of it. It's just divinely complicated. Complicated nevertheless. Number three is sensory rest. I also see that, let me get through sensory rest, and then I'm going to go to my phone call, which is the 780 exchange. Sensory rest. I want to get through this one because I think this one is so important. When I was lecturing 20 years ago, I found an article, over 20 years ago, that said in the next number of years, we were going to have 7% more information coming to us from all directions. And I asked the class at the time, are you ready for that? And they all said, no, I'm overloaded as it is. Well, we're in it right now, kids. And we're going to have more, okay, because everything's moving real fast. Information moving lightning speed. And we live in a world, as this article goes on to say, of constant stimulation that you take for granted. In other words, you've got screens all around you, conversations going, lights, music, pets, children, television, radio, everything, you know, emails, news coming really fast. You're inputting faster than you've ever inputted in your life, and it is completely unnatural to the human being until it's not. Because this is a world filled with that kind of sensory information that we don't even realize is affecting us, we've got to wake up and realize when we need a break from it. And I'm going to give you my break from it because it's the most powerful thing in the world. I found this a number of years ago. I've been doing it probably for 30 years or more. And it is unbelievable to help recharge yourself when you're overstimulated and you don't even know you're overstimulated. So here's what I recommend. I'll share my secret with you. It's called a low input day. A low input day. I don't take them all the time. Who has time for that? But I do take them once in a while. These days I take them every few months. And here's what the low input day is. You're not allowed to do anything on that day but read. I tell everybody I'm not going to converse with you. I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm not going to answer the phone. I'm not going to turn on the television. I'm not going to turn on the radio. I'm not going to read the news on the internet. Not going to do any of that. I am going to read a book because I input that rather slowly. Now, here's the thing. Boy, for the first few hours, you're going to be bothered. Woo! It's not going to feel good. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's not going to feel good because you're addicted to all of this around you. You are. It doesn't feel good for 3 or 4 hours. And then all of a sudden, you'll get into it, and you'll get into this rhythm. And by the time you wake up the next morning, you're going to feel like you've been on a vacation for a week or two. It's the most incredible thing I've ever done in my life. It's just about not allowing any input for 24 hours. That's all you'll need. It's miraculous. She goes on to say you should do something. Now that I find much more powerful than something that she's going to recommend. She says she wants to you to have at least 45 minutes of no screen time before bed. I don't find that helpful at all. I am addicted to information. I love information. I read all the time. I'm a writer. I read all the time. And I'm working while I read, by the way. And I just love it. I can't stand to have something that I don't read. She also recommends grounding, which allows us to focus on one sense at a time and become present and grounded within it. It's a kind of meditation, and I would rather meditate myself. Again, to each his own. I love my low input day once in a while. If I can do that and be really disciplined about it, which when I need it, I am, it is just miraculous, and that's all I need to do once in a while. Be sure and tell everybody you're going to do this so you're not bothered and the phone doesn't ring, okay? Let's go to 780 and say hello. And let me make sure that we can even do this and bring them on. Hi, this is Martha. To whom am I speaking?
Martha, it's great to talk to you again. It's Jay from Canada.
Oh, Jay from Canada. How are you, dear?
Doing better. It was quite a stressful week, but I got managed to get through it. But things came to a positive result, yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it, sweetheart. How's your life been? Jay is an old friend of ours. He's on the show. So tell us about you. What's been going on, Jay?
Well, yeah, I got a job change that's ending in February. Looking for another
job. You're not doing
that.
Yeah, tell us what you're doing.
Well, I'm working for a company right now, but they're changing direction of the company in terms of relocating a section of the company to another city, and they're closing it down. So there's opportunity there for me now to look for another job too. So that's what's happening
now. So you're going to stay in Edmonton, is that right?
Yes. And
thing
came up. I said some words that are really bad, and I almost got evicted from my place. I knew somebody there, but it was just divine timing. I had to make some promises to Creator regarding what to do, but I got out of it. But it was a stressful week. But I didn't.
It sounds like it was about
trust and things like that. So I do have a question for you.
And change, a lot of change around you, for sure.
Yes, definitely I did. A little bit of crying there, too. I do have a question for you. Because it's my astrological sign, but I managed to just, like, put my foot in the mouth, and then I had regret it later, but I just can't do that anymore because it almost cost me a lot. And just wondered, say something early regarding if you're locked into the emotions of whatever it is, you got to look at it and try to get out of it or let it pass. And just wondered, is there any way to practice that, to just aware of that before it happens?
Yeah. First of all, I do want to say, and I want to say this right across the board to everybody in the listening audience, is don't ever speak up right away. Nobody should ever speak up right away. There are people that are more impulsive than other people, and that's fine. But if we just kind of make it a general rule to let some of this process through before we speak up, whether it's in a marriage or in a business situation or anything else, I think that's a smart thing to do, because our first, thing that we want to say and jump at is probably not a good idea for anybody. You're not the only one that has said that to me this week. I heard about another situation, and it was about the living situation. Apparently, a baby was born next door to someone, and it's driving him crazy because the baby cries all the time. And that is a situation that isn't very nice that's going on with the neighbors, too. So, and he has said something that he shouldn't. So I want to say to you, first of all, Jay, never speak out of the moment. It's not even out of the emotion, it's out of the moment. You got to let some of this process through, some of your feelings process through. It's always good to go home and to have a quiet space and to say, what is this reminding me of from my childhood? Because a lot of times it is somebody that's not listening to you, somebody that's not paying attention, somebody that's not caring, somebody that's not giving you what you want in some way. And if you can realize that connection, a lot of the anger or impulsivity of the present moment diminishes, at which time you can think clearer when you're not in that trauma. And you can think more clearly and say, all right, now, how can I really make this work? And you can start thinking clearly about what to say and how to approach the other person and that kind of thing. Because when you just work out of the past, and 90% of our upset comes from our working out of the past, by the way. Only 10% is about the present. I say that with all my heart. It's mainly about the past. Once we realize that, you can think clearly. However, when we don't realize that and we go at somebody with that kind of energy that's not even about them and we have an overreaction, you're going to get a bad situation and a lot of pushback. Does that make sense to you, darling?
Yes.
Okay. So what I want to say is, right across the board, step away. and realize these things that I'm saying and regroup and then go back and have a more civil conversation with somebody. Jay, we all lose it. Everybody does. You know, I say these things trying to make all of y'all's lives better because I've made these mistakes too. Okay? And so slow down. Slow down. And you can just have rage like a rocket come up through you. I understand that. But you've got to really take as a truth 10% of it is about what happened in the present moment. Hmm. It's really about bad guys in the past in some way that you've made bad guys and a situation that is somehow similar, a feeling that is similar, you see?
Right, right.
Do you understand, Ollie?
Yeah, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay.
That's so interesting.
So the way to handle it is on the front end. Step away. Bottom line, step away. If anybody corners you and wants you to answer some questions right there in the hall of your apartment building, say, you know, I'm so sorry. I'm late. I've got to go do something. But I'll get back to you by 4 o'clock this afternoon, and we'll talk about it. And that gives you a chance to step away and to calm down. And it satisfies them a little bit in the hall that it's going to be taken care of, you see. Mm-hmm. You want people to feel safe, but you also must negotiate what has happened to you in the past and realize that this isn't that situation anymore. I hope that helps, darling.
Yes, it does, quite a bit. Actually, I've got to practice this.
And you know, darling, there are only two issues. There are a lot of issues. I mean, there are tons of issues all over the place, but they only fit into those two categories. You don't care about me, and I never get what I want. Every single thing we're feeling fits into one of those, and it can be directly traced to our feelings and what happened in our childhood.
Hmm. Okay.
Tomorrow's a better day, kiddo. All right? Today's a better day, as a matter of fact, if those things thought me, all right? Do you have
all
any
right.
other questions today?
No, I usually engage in your conversations because they're really great topics for in the present, and really look forward to more conversations like this, whether it's like this or on Facebook Live, too. So, yeah.
The interesting thing, guys, about Jay is that Jay always has the most interesting questions and topics and things to say. I have enjoyed that for a long time, Jay, with you. You know, you make me think.
No.
It's out of whatever the agenda is that I have to talk about and have planned, and it's marvelous, and I love this about you. So good for you. You keep going, kiddo. All right.
I'm really grateful, yes. You know, I always say to myself, I said, I'm not that smart, but I ask really smart questions.
You do. Well, none of us are that smart, babe. I certainly put myself in that category. We're all just doing the best we can, right? But who says we have to be smart or dumb or anything? Who says that we're not beyond all those labels and we just are what we are right now? So that's it.
Yeah.
That's the premise I always try to work from. Well, I'll go on with the lecture unless you have something else you want to share. And I'll keep the line open if you want. Do you want me to? And then you can just jump in there when you want.
No, it's okay. I look forward to your conversation. So, yes.
Okay,
you.
So we're going to hang up now, kid?
Yes.
All right, darling. Love
you,
you a lot.
Too.
Share your
love you a lot, too.
Let me know if this week is better for you, okay?
I will do that. Thank you.
Okay, honey. Bye-bye. One of my favorite conversations. Okay. The next one, kids, is emotional rest. Emotional rest, this article goes on to say, allows us the space to be authentic. I have a problem with the word authentic because it means something different to me. What it means to me is real authenticity, is stripping away all the pretense and the egoic child's mind and getting down to who you really are, without the devices that we all have and the masks we wear and the, you know, the the situations we create, instead of just being who we are as the energy of the ascended God we all are, the aspect of that we all are, right? But what I think she means here is it allows us the space to know ourselves a little better, to go down a little deeper, to go deeper into the authenticity that we are able to reach in the moment without all the, you know, work on ourselves. She goes on to say, if someone asks you how you're doing after recognizing you're visibly upset and you respond with, fine, such a suppression of emotions places an additional and internal pressure on you. Instead, she says, allow yourself to be authentic, stating, I'm actually really frustrated with. I think, you know, I'd like her, to me, I want to present to you, I should say, that it is a more emotionally honest thing to say than I'm fine to state the truth. I'm actually very frustrated with, for example, is a true statement, possibly, from you, an honest statement. And honesty is a part of authenticity, of course. I know I quibble over words, but that's what I do. They mean something different in deeper levels of consciousness. And we throw things around like unconditional love when nobody knows what the hell it means, because you only find out when you go on the journey. Anyway, moving along, this release, she says, in authenticity, I say honesty, allows our emotional circuit to feel more rested. Emotional rest also means surrounding ourselves with others who help provide emotional peace. And then, of course, being an introvert, I find emotional peace by being alone with myself. And that matters to me as introvert. Again, we've talked about, you know, find out what you are, introvert or an extrovert. Okay, we'll talk about that more in just a moment. This has everything to do with the story I told you earlier about one of my clients who used to do this more than, of course, she is doing now. This is another example of a lack of consideration, lack of emotional consideration for yourself. This woman liked to move fast, liked to think of herself as brainy, smarter than any of us, okay? Always had to be right, perfectionist to the extreme. All of these things are bull, by the way. They all are. There's no perfection except the perfection of God, and it lies in your imperfection and when you embrace that. So I know that's an abstract concept, but let me tell you, that's where it is. So at no point during her day when this little thing happened and upset her and this little thing happened and this little person said something or she said something that hurt somebody else's feeling, she just ran right by it. And if she did have the slightest little niggling thought of maybe I shouldn't have said that, she disqualified. Let's just go on. And so at nighttime, she was never resting, never sleeping, because she hadn't considered a damn thing that she did or was done to her all day and never allowed herself to feel what it felt like and to process that through and to give her the self-nurturance that she needed to give herself. Like a fine mother or father, we all turn into the beneficent mother and fathers to ourselves if we're doing this right. She was not. She was harsh. She was negative. She was on everybody's side against her because she was never once considering that precious thing known as self. The emotional peace that they refer to, so starts within you. It starts not by your avoiding emotion, but by your listening to it and dealing with it and being emotionally honest. And that takes a lot of work. I got real tickled with somebody years ago. I mean, this was 40 years ago. And I was talking to someone who was a counselor and said something about, I guess I just need to be more emotionally honest. And this woman said, oh, my God, who doesn't? You know, it's like, yeah. We got to learn to do that, kids. Nobody teaches us how to be emotionally honest. And we all think we're being emotionally honest, right? Because it's the best we can do, even if we're suppressed. No, you gotta go on a journey. Yeah, it's part of the journey. It's going to make you a better artist if you're inclined to creativity. I'll tell you that right now. And surrounding yourself with others who provide emotional peace. I do want to say this to all of us. I think that there is something that is absolutely terrible to relationships. It's one word. It's safety. And that is, or a lack of safety, I guess I should say it's three words, because there are little tiny ways that in our own homes we can make our spouses and our children feel unsafe. And this is the one place that we should all feel safe. We should feel safe within ourselves. We should help people feel safe within themselves. We should not have, and it's literally about the moment and whether somebody feels safe when you're talking to them, you know? You know, do you just say, bring that thing up from the basement? Or do you say, darling, are you doing anything right now? Do you have time to help me with this? And if you don't, that's fine. Just tell me when you're free. We'll do it together. Quite different, you see. And that's just a tiny example. We've got to learn things like that. To be different and more loving in our own skins. And we may feel that we're that loving. But what comes out of our mouths, because we have not considered the psychological ramifications of safety, sometimes can be quite different. Got to wake up to that. Okay? Number five is social rest. And so this goes back to what I just mentioned. Ah, Michelle, hey! Michelle said, well, I wish I started learning all this a long time ago. I got to tell you something funny, Michelle, because you are just incredibly smart and synergistic right now with your, that remark. Can I tell you why? Let's do. Okay, so I'm a book writer, and I'm enjoying writing murder mysteries. All right, and I've been working on one now for a while. Of course, I had a nice big move right in the middle that took about 5 or 6 months right off the table, but I'm back to it now. And I, you know, you just and I've just taken a course about it. So before I even took this course, two things were on my mind. Number one, tell me if this isn't the ego child's mind. I should have started this 40 years ago. Was one. And number two, when I meditated on it, I got no way. I needed all this learning that I have under my belt about human psychology and what motivates people and all that kind of stuff to do a good job, all right? Well, I took a seminar, a recorded seminar that's part of this course on what was it? Was it Thursday night? Anyway, Thursday night, I think. And this marvelous woman, this marvelous agent, said, the world has changed so much that the writers that you loved 20 years ago, if you're emulating them, you're already passé because you got to be you know, right there. You've got to keep people with you every minute. You've got so much competition right now that your writing has got to change or you're never going to make it as a writer in this business. So where does that put us in terms of what you're saying, Michelle? I wish I started learning all this a long time ago. You know what? You couldn't because the world wasn't like it is now. So here we are. We're learning it right now. This is the time, or it wouldn't even be here and on the table for all of us. You didn't need it 25 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 10 years ago. But we need it now. Divine timing. Thank you, Judy. That's absolutely right. It's divine timing. Yay! For all of us. And Michelle says, yay, and I said yay at the same time. Cute thing. All right, we seem to all be synergistic today. I just love that about us. All right, here we go. The next one, kids. Oh, let's talk about social. Okay, so this goes back to, are you an introvert or an extrovert? Introverted, extrovert, extroverted, introvert. What are you? And more importantly than that, what's going on in this moment that you need? What do you need? Do you gain energy from others? Do you gain it by spending time alone? Do you understand the limits of our social battery? I love the way she said that. Because if we understand the limits, if we feel those limits inside, then we can do whatever we need to do, see people, be alone, to recharge, right? We can't go past that boundary without, you know, paying the price. This is a very strong, she says, conversation to have with your partner because we all have various levels of sociability. We do. We have thresholds, just like we have mentioned before. And sometimes the threshold is low and sometimes it's high, and it really has to do more with what we need in the moment than it does with a label like extrovert and introvert. It's always good to know about yourself, but you've got to tune in to the moment. And what do you need in this moment, you see? I think it's much harder for people that if we realize the introvert-extrovert thing is on a scale, from 0 to 10, let's say, I think it's very hard for people in the 4, 5, and 6 area because you better be sharp and tuned into what you need on the deepest level. You see, it's not as simple as I'm a 0 or a 10. So this is about developing your sensitivity to yourself and not stopping with the shallow end. Okay. Creative rest. Number 6. For those of us working in the creative fields, she goes on to say creative rest is an absolute must. She goes on to say, how often do we struggle with writer's block or creative fatigue or burnout from brainstorming or problem solving? I don't believe in any of those things. You know why? Because I think there is what's missing here, if you're struggling with those labels, is a sensitivity to self that tells you today is not a writing day, today is an editing day, today is a research day, today is a leave it alone day and walk away day. When we honor this, or it may be an input day. You may need to lie on your couch and watch television all day long to input stories that you will let, you know, I always think it's spaghetti being thrown against the wall. It's all going to fall off except for that little piece and this little piece, and that's all part of something else that you create. We've got to learn how to work with ourselves in other ways, you see, in other words. And most people sometimes really don't know how to work with the creative experience, especially if they are drivers, if they just want to drive themselves through. That's a mistake. You're not going to do that. You cannot do that. That's not the way you work. So it's about finding out the way you work. Okay? Thank you, Judy. Yeah, well, she says she likes the spaghetti analogy. Yeah, exactly. Throw it against the wall, see what sticks over a period of time. I think there are a lot of ways for us to be inspired, and certainly one of the ways to be inspired is to input other people's stuff. Never copy other people's stuff, but I'm saying input other people's stuff. I'm not saying copy it. I'm saying throw it against the wall, okay? And then because of who you are and your background and your inspiration and where you come, you'll take that little string of spaghetti that's still there and you're going, how could I rethink that? What can I do with that? It turns out differently for you. She says, surround yourself with nature. Allow yourself to feel. Oh, easier said than done. Listen to music. Read books. TV. I used to do a lot of music writing, and I would command the self. I'd get stuck. I'm not as stuck with words as I was with the economy of music. Yeah, better spaghetti than mud, Judy says. Yeah, although mud probably would work too. I would get stuck, and I would not keep battering it around. I would get up and go to the refrigerator or go do something, and usually I'd hear or I would, you know, the next phrase would come to me, or I'd realize the phrase that I had written that was wrong and corrected, and then it would start flowing again. The whole point is to work with flow, to get in divine flow, you see? If we push, you aren't in flow. That's not the way the current works, is it? Mm-mm. Means you're working against the current. Number seven, and I'm going to hurry a little bit here because I've got 12 minutes left, is spiritual rest. Spiritual rest means, according to the article, that you're connecting on a deeper level with something greater than ourselves. This can mean adding prayer or meditation to our lives. She goes on to say, and purpose to our lives. I have a problem with that too. Okay? Purpose. Everybody says, I want to find divine purpose, but they haven't gone on the journey to find it. You see? And it isn't that you go on the journey to find your divine purpose. You just keep doing this because it's the right thing to do right now, and that because it's the right thing to do right now, and here's something else that you do because it's the right thing to do right now, and something else, and all of a sudden, years down the road, you're going to find yourself in divine purpose. It's the way it happens. It isn't the quest, you know, it isn't Parsifal going after the Holy Grail. Okay. There are many ways to connect with something greater than ourselves. I love meditation. However, one of the favorite meditations that I have is an awake meditation. I will meditate and say something like, God enter here throughout the day. I'm perfectly awake. I'm talking to people. I'm talking to you. I'm doing what I need to do. But in my mind, I am connecting with that every few minutes, saying, God enter here. Or I am grateful all day. I am so grateful. And that's a good one too. Thank you, God. You know, and just thank you, God, throughout the day. Opens a lot of channels, opens a lot of doors. I think that too often we meditate, we pray, and then we get out and we are the same little snotty people that we were before the meditation and the prayer. I think that, in my opinion, I think prayer is defined in a very small way. I think your whole life is prayer. I think everything you say and do is a prayer. Everything you say and do is a prayer. What do I mean by that? Well, it's a prayer that's coming from the ego child's mind. Oh, please, I'm in lack. I need you to. Okay. Or highest self, I am just so grateful for everything, and it's just evolving and continuing to move and grow, and this is all just wonderful. I live in the beneficence of God, okay? Every single thing you say is coming from your issues or coming from your highest self, coming from the ego child's mind or the highest self. The whole thing is a prayer. They often disqualify each other. Prayer is not something that you do on your hands and knees. Prayer is something you do every single time you think a thought or open your mouth or do an action. It's all prayer. Well, doesn't that open the mind to say, I've got to be aware of that. I've got to be careful about where I'm coming from. Get it? Yeah, that's prayer. Okay. She goes on to say a part of spiritual rest is going to church or volunteering in a volunteer program or community outreach or nature retreats. All of those things are good. But what do you need? What is it that you need? Okay. The last one, and I've got 8 minutes left, the author, as I said, Claudia, author of this article, has mentioned, and I think it's a very valid one to mention. Number 8, cellular/systematic rest. Cellular systematic rest is rest of the whole body system from an internal level. What we put in our bodies matters, okay? Processed food, junk foods, high-fat sugar foods are extremely difficult for our bodies to digest. Much of the energy we produce goes into digestion of these foods, which leaves us feeling fatigued and tired and lethargic. Giving our body a cellular system rest means incorporating foods that are healthy, easy to digest, and certainly provide restorative oxidative stress protection. Being mindful of our caffeine intake, I think, is part of this, and resting and making sure. There's something on the internet. I looked it up the other day because I remember years ago having adrenal fatigue, not so much anymore, but there's a marvelous soup that's called adrenal soup. It's primarily vegetables, and I made it years ago, and it was perfectly delicious, and I just got on there on the internet this week because I thought that would be a really nice thing for me to fix on a cold winter night for my husband and me because it was a delicious soup and I, you know, being vegan right now. So guys, you've got to work with yourself. You know, I will say as we grow older, life becomes harder if we don't become wiser. That means we have to be willing to make some changes, right? Possibly eating more healthfully, being aware of when you eat something and realizing that that's not quite sitting well with me, and to not eat that again, especially before you're trying to rest or go to bed. I think that's really important. I'm very careful on the show not to say, you need to do this diet, you need to do this, you need to do that. That's not my business. All of you all are going to have your way of doing it. What I am encouraging you right now is, honeys, find your way. Find your way in all of this, and you'll be so much healthier and so much more flexible and adaptable. Because you're listening. This whole synergy that Michelle and Judy and I have had this morning is and Jay, by the way, is marvelous because it shows we're all in that level of energy where truth confirms itself. What if you lived there? To rest, I'm going to generally sum this up, is don't be afraid to do different things. Don't be afraid. Do different things. in a loving and sacred way, because this moment's never going to come again. It's a sacred moment to explore. And I want to put one other thing on the table, and that is that everybody needs something to look forward to. I think that too often we say, oh, I've got something to look forward to. In July, I'm going to take a big vacation. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, what are you doing today? What are you doing as soon as this radio show is over for yourself? What nice thing are you doing? You can't decide that except in the moment. In the moment. It's like the woman that was in my class that decided 2 weeks ahead what she was going to do to be nice to herself and forced herself to do it and had a perfectly dreadful experience. Everybody else in the class decided in the moment what they were going to do for themselves. And they loved it because it helped. So guys, what are you doing? Give yourself something to look forward to every single day, maybe multiple things. They're small, quiet things. They're not go out and buy a Porsche. Your body's never going to say that. You know that's the ego child's mind, right? It's about have some ice cream. Go take a bath. Go for a walk through the woods. Call a friend. Love on your dog. Turn on the television. Turn off the television. It's going to be things like that. I do encourage you guys to try a low-input day, though. Especially, you know, what's really nice is a low-input day and saying a mantra like, thank you, God, for everything, for all of this, throughout the day, or God, enter here throughout the day, anything like that mixed with a low-input day. Ooh, guys, you all will be just sail. All right, we'll be back next week with another show, and please look at the website and we'll find out. I'm going to enter it in just a few minutes. I'm not sure. Oh, I think I am going to talk about, what am I going to talk about? Well, I had it here, but I don't have it here anymore. Okay. I think what to stop doing relative to other people that make us unhappy. Okay. Anyway, love you very much, and we'll see you next week. And thank you, by the way, thank you so much for getting word around about our show, that you are doing this. You guys are the front line of our advertising. I really appreciate that with all my heart. So that you're out there saying you got to listen to the show or listen to this or and sending them around on social media and just getting the word out about what we're doing here. I can't thank you enough for that, because I see our numbers growing all the time, and that makes me feel really, really good that, you know, my job is just to get the word out there, to be the mouthpiece for some of this, and then you all take it from there. So, thank you so much that you're finding value. That means a lot to me, and I love you very much. So let's do a quick 90-second prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for the gifts we're receiving right now. Make this usable in our lives, this information. Help us open ourselves to see, hear, sense, and know you on a deeper level of us. You are the aspect that we are, and we open ourselves to that in all gratitude and all everything. So we surrender what we can today of our old blocks and things that are in our way, like control, and we give it to you, because we're never going to be out of control. We're just living ourselves as the ascended God we are. That's in us too, along with the ego child's mind. And we celebrate that today in all its ways. Teach us to be good to ourselves, dear God, for it is the you and us that is everything. And so it is. Amen. We thank you in the name of everybody that's listening to the show. Have a great week, you guys. We'll see you next week, okay? Take care. Bye-bye.